Up and Vanished in the Midnight Sun is released every Thursday and brought to you absolutely free. But for ad-free listening and exclusive bonuses, subscribe to Tenderfoot Plus at tenderfootplus.com or on Apple Podcasts.
Crystal Reisinger vanished in the summer of 2016 from the small town of Crestone, Colorado, a place known for its spirituality, its isolation, and, as I'd come to learn, its secrets. Crystal was a mother, a poet, a deep thinker, and she didn't just disappear. Someone made her disappear. And now, after years of dead ends, we're closer than ever to knowing who is responsible. For years, two names kept coming up. Two men who, by all accounts, were some of the last people to see Crystal alive. But now, they're both dead. Catfish John and Dreddy Bryan. Which, in a case like this, can feel like the end of the road. But it isn't. Because the truth didn't die with them. It's still out there. In the people who knew them. The ones who were there. And the ones who have stayed silent all this time. And now, you can help. But only if you're brave enough to come forward.
From Tenderfoot TV in Atlanta, this is Up and Vanished. I'm your host, Payne Lindsay.
So 4 years ago, in July of 2021, I got an email. At first, it seemed like just another tip. One of the hundreds that come in for cases like this. But this one was different. A woman reached out to me with something she said I needed to hear. This is the transcript of our email exchange.
An inmate in Sumter County, Florida, says he has information for you. He won't contact the CBI, and definitely not the county sheriff. But he says he will talk to you.
I responded, "Do you know this person? And could you put me in contact?"
"Yes, I do. He's my boyfriend."
"Okay, great. Here's my cell phone number."
When I talked to him a few days ago, he said he had information. He isn't currently allowed phone calls, but you can e-message him on the Securus app.
Does he know something about Crystal?
He's on restriction, and he's an inmate. He can't make phone calls for 15 days, but he can message you on the app. He says he knows what happened to Crystal. He used to live with Catfish. He's from Crestone. All you need is a secure account to talk to him. He told yesterday, in a jail recording, that he had some information. He said, has information for Payne Lindsay. Specifically for you.
She told me there was a man sitting in prison, someone with intimate knowledge of Crystal Reisinger's disappearance, and he wanted to confess, but not to police, not to an attorney, to me specifically. That email changed everything. It sent my investigation on an entirely new course, one that led me straight to a man with the nickname Rice, which may sound familiar.
Dreddy Bryan, Cat, there was a guy, Rice came to my name.
4 years passed, and that nickname, Rice, slowly faded into the background. That is, until just a few weeks ago. But let's back up. From the very beginning, from the very start of season two, all the way back in 2018, state law enforcement, the Colorado Bureau of Investigation, was in contact with us. Dozens and dozens of phone calls, meetings, texts, for months. I just never aired these recordings. We had a sort of handshake agreement, keeping our relationship professional, keeping it out of the public eye. And because I kept my word, because I never released those tapes, something happened that almost never does in cases like this. They started to trust me. They started to trust the podcast.
Let's go back.
Hey, man, it's Payne.
Hey, Payne, how are you?
Years after season two was done airing, I got a random phone call one day from an investigator at the CBI. His name was Kevin. and he told me that the original investigator, now retired, had vouched for me. And because of that, and only that, he wanted to speak with me regarding Crystal's case. Because now, the state of Colorado has an entire cold case unit dedicated to finding out what really happened to Crystal. And for the first time, we're actually working together. Unofficially, but officially.
I've been doing this a long time, and law enforcement is getting a bad rap right now. And if we can resolve that, you know, if I can make even one person go, maybe the cops aren't that bad.
Yeah.
That's important to me, too.
Yeah, and I've told a few people that we were doing this, and they're like, why'd they agree to do that with you guys? And I was like, honestly, I think they just, you know, are willing to try stuff.
First of all, I can't believe I'm even sitting here with one of these things on. I'm serious. Because I've been doing this
I can tell.
a long, long time, and I have never done this. I never thought I would. Always told myself, never.
Could you just tell me, like, in your own words, like, why you decided to reach out to me in the first place to talk about Crystal's case?
So in reviewing the case, there was people that you talked to that I don't know that would have talked to law enforcement. And I think it was important for me to have that information for my investigation. I think we talked previously that there's people that don't want to talk to law enforcement that will talk to you. And that information may or may not be valuable, but I would like to at least be able to review it and see how it might be applicable to what I'm doing in my investigation. So that was my number one reason. The number two reason is I felt you guys actually cared about this case. I did listen to your podcast, and I thought that you did a good job. You were very thorough, and you had a lot of community interest. With your community interest, I was hopeful that I could get a message out that we're still working on this case and we want to resolve it. I did not work on this case. This case was handled by other agents. I'd heard about it, and then I heard other people talking about your podcast, and it's very interesting. So I listened to it and I thought, wow, this is great. Fast forward to last year, this case was assigned to me. And I recalled your podcast, I re-listened to it, and I thought you had valuable information. Sometimes I think that the media is helpful. Sometimes I don't think they are. And in this instance, I thought you guys were trying to be very helpful. Just your overall perspective that you generated through the podcast, that you cared about Crystal, her family, and you also wanted a resolution.
How many times have you called a podcaster to help figure it out?
Zero. I have never called the media for anything in any one of my cases. Of course, we want the resource that the media has to offer to us is to get the word out there, to get a picture out, to get video out, and ask for assistance from the public. We need their help in these cases. We need their help in the majority of the cases we work. But have I ever just reached out to somebody such as yourself and said, can we talk about this? I think you have information that might be valuable. I've never done that. What I gathered from listening to your podcast is you had a genuine, real life connection to this case, and you want to solve it as much as I do. You want to know what happened to Crystal. So not knowing you, but knowing kind of your take on this case and who you are, I think some people, they're more apt to talk to you than they are to law enforcement.
But why is that, you think?
Well, I think some people have things to hide. There's multiple reasons why they might not want to talk. People are reluctant to talk to law enforcement because of the culture that they're raised in or poor experiences with law enforcement in the past. I think it's easier for you to say, hey, I'm looking at this case and I just want to chat with you about it. You know, if I show up and say that, they get worried that they're going to be in trouble or I'm going to think they're hiding something or they fear that I'm there to arrest them, which is not the case. I need help. I need their information. So what I'm looking for in your information is corroboration of things we may already know, potentially new information that may not have been shared by the multitude of people that you talk to, and something that might lead to new information in this case, maybe a new name that was overlooked that we never heard of because somebody mentioned them to you, but they never mentioned them to law enforcement. Things of that nature is what I'm looking for. And hopefully it opens new doors and gets us started down a new path. I'm not sure what happened. I think that's what we're trying to get to the bottom of here. And with a partnership that with CBI and our local communities, in this case, Sawatch County Sheriff's Office, I think we'll figure out what happened in this case. But we need the public to help us too. I do think it's solvable, and although difficult, because a lot of the people involved in this case are from an alternate culture. Some of them are not very friendly with law enforcement. Some of them just are not friendly with government, period. So I think that's one hurdle. The age of the case really, I mean, it's a little bit old. I wouldn't call it excessively old. So sometimes time works in our favor in these cases. And I think that's potentially the case here. Most people want to share information even though they're scared. I think somebody knows what happened in this case, whatever it may be. I think somebody knows. They just need to pick up the phone, give us a call, and we'll come and talk to them, and hopefully we can get a resolution.
If that person you're talking about, who may be the linchpin in solving this with whatever information they may have, if they were to hear this, what would you say to them?
Call me. I'm just a regular guy. I just come out and meet with you, and we can talk. That's it. I think if this was your sister or your mom or your family member, you would want somebody to do that for you. And I know I would if it was my family. If you think from that perspective, there's really no risk. You can provide information. You don't even have to give me your name right up front. We can talk, and then we can make some decisions on if your information's valid, and we can move forward from there. My primary focus is this case. I'm not interested in, unless you're going to tell me about another murder or another missing person, it's not of a concern to me as to your history or what your involvement in some criminal activities may have been in this case. If it's narcotics or, you know, those kind of things, that is not a concern. My concern is the disappearance of Crystal. The biggest thing, is a phone call or a piece of information, you know, walking into our offices or walking into the office of the sheriff and providing that piece of information, even though you might be scared. That is the key to get this thing rolling. And I stand behind that 100%, that we need that help from the community.
How could we help beyond this point?
I spent a lot of time in the San Luis Valley. Everybody knew about this podcast. So I can't say that that's, you know, I don't spend as much time there now, but I don't think that if I went down there today, people would say, oh, are you down here for Crystal?
Right.
But back a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, you knocked on somebody's door or you were doing some, are you here for the Crystal Ressinger thing? And I think that probably is part of what you were able to build with this. I think this conversation today is important to build that kind of trust. People can see that, you know, I think you took a risk coming to meet me and sharing your whole work with me, which I greatly appreciate. What do we have to do to solve this case? And I will try, this is a try. And maybe it's going to be the breaker that gets us to where we need to go. Law enforcement is really helpful. That's why we're here. We're not bad people. We're just normal people doing a job that some people don't like right now. And it's unfortunate. But I go back to that kind of notion. If this was your family, if this was your sister, what would you do? You'd do the right thing. And that's what I need you to do. I'm a huge fan of luck.
Yeah.
I'd rather be lucky than good any day. And I think in this case, we need a little bit of luck. These cases are difficult. Do I think it's solvable? Yes. Does that mean it's going to be solved? Not necessarily. But I won't give up.
What's up, man?
How are you?
Good to see you. How you been?
Good.
Been a while. How
yeah.
you doing?
Hey, I'm TV.
Remember my boss, right?
I do remember.
Nice to see you.
Last month, the team and I went to Denver to attend a ceremony held on the court steps of their capital. Colorado's official Missing Persons Day.
This day serves as a stark reminder of the void left behind when a loved one vanishes, and a painful and persistent question mark are etched into the hearts of families and communities across our state. The numbers are sobering. As we stand here today, 680 individuals remain missing in our state.
When I took over as executive director in 2013, we had around 240 missing persons under suspicious circumstances. That number you just heard of, 688, more than doubled in that time. The database that we have started in 1970. The explosion of missing persons is stunning, to say the least. Every day we wake up to have a cup of coffee and look at these beautiful Rocky Mountains, our loved one is not with us. We're re-victimized every day, every single day. It's time that the community step up and get involved. Pick up the phone, even if it's uncomfortable, and call the authorities. Your name will not be outed, but get the information that you have to the authorities so that they can help these families behind me. The easy wrong is to simply do nothing at all and keep the information that you have about a significant case to yourself and live with that and go to the grave with it. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. Please, do the hard right over the easy wrong.
Christopher Enoch Abeda. Laura Alcaraz. Emilio Allegra Martinez.
One by one, they read out all the names of every missing person in Colorado.
Abdul Malik Al-Kandari.
Shada Gamey. Michael Cody Gilkison. Joshua Kane Glasser. Philip Gomez. Daniel Alexander Gomez Vasquez.
Dolores Susan Regonza. Terrence Redfern. Stephen Reddy. Crystal Ann Reisner.
It was powerful, extremely emotional. And then, her name, Crystal Reisinger. Hearing it out loud, in front of dozens of other families, desperate for answers, with law enforcement standing next to me, everything about this just felt different. Like a line had been finally drawn. There's no more waiting. No more hoping someone will finally say something. The time is now. And trust me when I say, we're closing in.
Joe Keel is a prior agent who was at the CBI.
Oh, okay.
And had a relationship with Payne during, because Joe was the original investigator on this case.
Yeah.
One of them.
Because when you first called me, like, you had listened to that, right?
I had listened to
but
all.
But Joe had vouched for me because
Joe. Other than the only reason I talked to you is because of Joe Keel.
That's what I was telling them. I was like, the only reason like he really talked to me is because I never burned Joe.
Nope.
Not a lot of cops like to play with journalists, you know, especially true crime podcasters. You know, that's probably your worst nightmare. Just
for sure
at first glance, right? But he's one of the first, you know, I guess law enforcement agents that gave a shit about us. We were doing the story either way, and like we can.
He knew some of your information was valid.
Yeah,
and you guys were.
I'm not really asking you for anything, but yeah. We can have an open channel, and I'm not going to burn you. I'll prove it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and he, what I thought was important thing was you guys could talk to people that we can't talk to.
Yeah.
Or they talk to you. They
and vice versa, yes.
And that you shared that information with us certainly has been invaluable.
So for us, I mean, we're planning on doing like a recap, and I mean, one, so much has happened since 2018.
Oh, for sure.
Even just like the suspect's dying and,
yeah.
You know.
Dreddy Bryant's dead. Catfish.
Yeah, so like really the story is mostly like a recap of everything before anything that's happening with you right now.
Sure.
But I would be curious to know what would be smart for me to say or highlight or point at.
Just like last time. That's a really closed off community.
Yeah.
And they need to know that they can trust the cops. And we talked about this last time. Like,
the drugs will be a thing that they're scared of.
Could care less about the drugs.
How do they believe you?
That's not what I'm after. They just look at the unit that I work in, homicide unit.
Right.
I'm not a drug guy.
Yeah, right.
Is it hard to get that across to them? For sure. But I think a lot of them, there is people down there that know, maybe not know my name in particular, but they know CBI. Mm-hmm. And CBI is usually not down there for drugs. They're down there for major homicide cases, missing persons, things like that. So that the public's help in this is going to be key.
Yeah.
You know, and these guys are dead. If it's these two guys or third guy or fifth guy or all five of 10 of them, how many ever it is, a lot of them are dead.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody knows something, well, I don't have to be scared of these guys anymore. I know everybody was terrified of that group of people, and I don't blame them. There's 30 dudes. Person
we
in
were
the
scared at one point of the idea of like who this person was, right, and what he was capable of. Yeah.
He's created this, mm-hmm, persona, and the community knows his persona, and he's gone.
Yeah. Gone.
And I think, you know, dispelling some of the fear would be really helpful from my perspective. You know, again, we talked about the reward last time, reminding people that, hey, there's money out here,
yeah,
for you to come forward that leads to her remains or the resolution of this case.
Yeah.
Because money always talks. We're talking a lot of money, and that could change somebody's life with the right piece of information.
If you're somebody who is tangentially involved, who knows information that could potentially solve this case, right? I'm just guessing here, but they might have the fear that they would go down for this murder even if they didn't do it. They'd almost want to know that, like, they'd have immunity from that, like, in some way. Like, I know that's, like, a thing that you can't probably promise anybody.
Yeah, there's legal ways for us to, if they cooperate,
yeah,
they don't get charged, right? There's legal ways. Many a time I've sat down with people and they've shared information in exchange for, you know, leniency or even maybe not getting charged. So I don't know how you would say that to the general public.
Well, I mean, I think you just said it in a way that was perfect. Like, yeah, like this is something that
it does
happens.
Exist. It does happen.
And if you are that first person to talk, then that's
most likely. I don't even
think
it has to be. I'd listen to 10 people. If, yeah, they all had something to offer that led me to her or led to her remains and led to a resolution. Really, I'm interested, like I said before, let's find her first and then we'll decide what happened. And that's always the way I want to go, because then I can give that peace. We get rid of the biggest problem here, which is not knowing where she is.
Yeah.
And, you know, a no-body case is super hard.
So.
Super hard. So if we get there, then we knew for. So in these instances, if there's five, and I think there's probably multiple people that know in this instance.
Absolutely.
Everybody down there is connected. In the drug world, in the criminal world, they all know each other down there. So, mm-hmm, and stories travel. Whether the stories that they know are exactly accurate,
mm-hmm,
that's for me to decide later.
Yeah.
Build the facts and build,
right,
the case,
what connects,
right?
What doesn't. Yeah.
Exactly. So any bit of information is helpful. But yeah, I mean, there is legal ways to do that, where if somebody came forward and said, hey, I want to talk, but I'm scared I'm going to get charged, we'd work with them in some regard.
Yeah. So I want that message to get, like, to get out there, but also want the message that they should be compelled to talk at this point. We're like,
sure,
on the opposite side of that. If you keep running down the trails that you're on and you connect these dots, I would imagine that same leniency won't be there. The time has expired or is expiring,
yeah,
because
we're still working.
Exactly. You've like, continued, we've continued.
We're going to continue to work on this thing until we resolve it.
Yeah.
And the bad guys should know that. So, yeah, I mean, you guys, like I said last time, that's one of the reasons why I agreed to talk, because I think you can be super helpful in this case. Everybody knows Ian Lindsay and Up and Vanished and Presto,
mm-hmm,
and the Valor. They all know it. Every time I go down there, oh, that's the Up and Vanished case. Everybody says it. So that leverage is helpful to me. These people, this dude's lazy.
Yes.
And he, mm-hmm, would have to, well, first of all, he'd probably employ somebody to help him.
Yes.
And I just don't think these guys are smart enough to do what would take to do that.
Absolutely not.
And they may be connected with somebody who knows more than them. And money and drugs talk. Like, since we've talked, there's quite a few things that have happened It's certainly moving along, like nothing to jump for joy about.
Yeah.
But it is, there is more than, there's some things that have occurred that investigatively give me places to move. So it's not stiff.
I love that.
Yeah. I've followed some leads to some places. We'll just say that.
Yeah, yeah.
And we searched since last time we met.
Oh, awesome.
We've searched some places. I'm willing to share that with you.
Anything good, bad, or neutral?
Just neutral right now. But it certainly is leading to other things.
Okay.
Okay. So it's still
in like an evidentiary standpoint or reactionary from the individuals?
More of an individual, like investigatively,
yeah,
leading to people that hopefully will be willing to discuss this case.
Any names that, I don't have to put them out, that like, of people that I talked to in the podcast
there
that I can poke?
There's some people, but there's other people that you've never heard of.
Is one of them?
I know that name.
Okay.
He lived with Catfish.
And he was in jail at that time or something, and I tried to talk to him while he was in jail.
Okay.
Like, does that sound accurate that he would have been?
He would have been in jail.
I remember like trying to add him in some list
he
of something
been,
on like a,
been,
here we go. Yeah, Securus app.
Who
yeah.
sent you, who's
I
this
think
person?
I did message him maybe.
Who's, do you know who that is? Is that a real person or is it a bullshit name?
Just
sounds like
an inmate at Sumner County, Florida says he has information for you.
Would you mind sharing that with
me? No, I'll forward this to you right now.
After all these years, the case is not just active, it's moving. And now we have new primary persons of interest. People who may have direct knowledge or involvement. People who have never been named publicly. People who are still out there. And that's why we're doing this, because someone listening right now knows exactly who I'm talking about, and they know exactly what happened. And several of these people have talked to me. People like Robert Pierce and Brian Jones. People like Sean Tim. And people like Rice.
Rice came to my name. He lives right down the street from Cat. I'm sure you've heard. Rice. I'm pretty sure it was Rice.
I didn't know anything about this Rice person at first. And to be honest, I'd never even heard his name. All I knew was that he was locked up in Florida and that he wasn't some outsider looking in. He was connected. I had no idea what he was about to tell me. No idea if he was even telling the truth. But I knew one thing. This was a conversation I needed to have. So I got on an app called Securus, where you can message inmates in prison. I found his contact, an inmate number, then I messaged him. I said, "Hey, your girlfriend sent me an email this morning and said you may have information regarding Crystal.
I can get you the answers you want from his mouth. I am the one that can make him talk. He doesn't fear anything, but he fears me. I can make him talk and talk about what you want to know. I am trying to get a bond hearing next week and hoping to post bond. Actual court date is August 16th. I'm trying to get out before that. And as to why, I know you put in a lot of work and had some dead ends. And sometimes help can come from someone or some place you least expect. What I am thinking is hard to explain. To sum it up, karma. He has done too much wrong. And he tried to harm someone I love. And I'm trying to change my ways, or he would be gone my way. They call me Ghost for a reason. But my wife has asked me not to be that person anymore. I love her, and I will do my best to make her happy. There's probably more shit than you want to hear, but there it is. And I would love to see his face when he knows it's over, and his mom and dad can't buy his way out. And I give you my word, when I get out of here, I will get you the answers you want. Thank you."
Rice gave me details I couldn't ignore. But were they real? Or was he just playing a game? That question sent me down a path that would take years to unravel. And for a while, it felt like a complete dead end. Today, we're making it official. Colorado Bureau of Investigation has launched a brand new tip line, created specifically for this case, for Crystal. This is no longer just an investigation, a cold case. It's action. It's real. And if you're listening to this right now, and you know something, this is your last chance to come forward, before the walls inevitably close in anyway. The official tip line for Crystal Risinger's case, for the Colorado Bureau of Investigation, is 720-741-7410. Again, that's 720-741-7410. This is the official tip line from the CBI. If you have real information, I'm pleading that you come forward. Don't have any regrets. Everything you say will go straight to the investigators, not to me, not to the podcast, to the people who can actually make the arrest. For too many years in this case, people have stayed quiet. But now, silence is no longer an option. Because this case is closing in. And when it does, you don't want to be on the wrong side of it. We want and we need the community's help here. Let's finish this and finally bring justice to Crystal Risinger. Stay tuned next Friday for brand new updates from Season 3, the disappearance of Ashley Loring Heavy Runner from Browning, Montana. And as you can see, we're now 1 week closer, circling back to Season 4 in the Midnight Sun. I appreciate all your patience, and I know as a listener it can be frustrating as the case is unfolding in real time. But all I ask is to give us the benefit of the doubt here. Know that we're coming back full swing, and every minute you've waited is a minute we've spent getting that much closer to solving these cases. If you want to check out some additional content and some behind-the-scenes videos, go check out my Instagram at Payne Lindsay. Thank you for listening and for all your support. I will see you next Friday.
Up and Vanished in the Midnight Sun is a production of Tenderfoot TV in association with Odyssey. Your host is Payne Lindsay. The show is written by Payne Lindsay with additional assistance from Mike Rooney. Executive producers are Donald Albright and Payne Lindsay. Lead producer is Mike Rooney, along with producers Dylan Harrington and Cooper Skinner. Editing by Mike Rooney and Cooper Skinner, with additional editing by Dylan Harrington. Supervising producer is Tracy Kaplan. Additional production by Victoria McKenzie, Alice Kanik-Glenn, and Eric Quintana. Artwork by Rob Sheridan. Original music by Makeup and Vanity Set. Mix and mastered by Cooper Skinner. Thank you to Oren Rosenbaum and the team at UTA, Beck Media and Marketing, and the Nord Group. Special thanks to all of the families and community members that spoke to the team. Additional information and resources can be found in our show notes. For more podcasts like Up and Vanished, search Tenderfoot TV on your favorite podcast app or visit us at tenderfoot.tv. Thanks for listening.